Today's show is Masechta Midos, Daf Lamed Hei, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud Lefnei Mimenu. Our Mishnah continues in describing the area of the Har Habayis and the area of the Azoris, and ultimately speaking about the area of the Beis Hamikdash. So our Mishnah now continues speaking about the Har Habayis. And says the Mishnah, Lefnim Emenu, inside the wall of the Har Habayis was a Sayrig Gevoya Asara Tfachim. There was a Sayrig, which was a sort of a wall made out of lattice work, which was 10 Tfachim high. There's a discussion if the Sayrig surrounded the entire Har Habayis, or it only surrounded the east side. The reason the Mepharshim say that the Sayrig was made out of lattice work, so two pshat. And one pshat is simply because it's nicer when it's made that way. Another pshat is that through the Sayrig, which we'll discuss more in a moment, they wanted to be able to see, the people who could not go anywhere deeper, wanted to be able to see the, inside. So the reason that they made the Sayrig was that in the lattice work, they could see between the slats. What was the purpose of the Sayrig? The purpose of the Sayrig was that there's the Har Habayis, and then there's the Sayrig, and we're going to speak about the Chayil, which was after the Sayrig. And the Sayrig represented the area past which the Goyim were not allowed to go. So the purpose of the Sayrig was that to make that separation between the area after the Sayrig and the area before the Sayrig. The Mepharshim also asked that every area in the Beis HaMikdash, every structure in the Beis HaMikdash, was Hakol, the Pasuk says in Devar Yomim, Hakol B'Ksav Yad Hashem Alai Hisko. They got strict interpretations what direction, what they may do and what they may not do. So was the Sayrig, if the Sayrig wasn't there originally, how could they add the Sayrig as a place that they couldn't have had from before? So one shot is that this Isser is only in the Azara. The Sayrig, as we just described, was before the Azara. Another shot that I saw is that since the purpose of the Sayrig, as we've been describing, is to prevent people from walking where they may not walk, so it was there for the Kedusha to preserve the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it was not an Isser to build it, even though it wasn't in the original instructions what to build. Continues the Mishnah, Shlois Asi Kurtis Bar Tzuhayba, there were 13 breaches in the Sayrig wall, so parts of Malchi Yovin. The Malchi Yovin reached them and says the Mishnah, Chaz V'Godrim, then later on they were repaired. The V'Godrim connect them, Shalos Ashtash Tachavoyas, and that's when the minig became that we should build Shalos Ashtash Tachavoyas, 13 bowing as somebody entered into the Beis HaMikdash. So I saw that the Mepharshim asked that the reason the Dershus Yontif says the Goyim made these breaches, because as we've been explaining, the Sayrig represented the separation between where we were allowed to walk, between where the Akum may and may not go, and that was something that disturbed the Akum, that there was a separation where they may not go, and that's why they made these breaches specifically in the Sayrig. But then I saw that the Mepharshim asked that we know on Chanukah we sing Yevonim Nigbatzu Alai, and then we continue saying Uforetzu Chaimais Migdalai. And the Uforetzu Chaimais Migdalai that we refer to in our song on Chanukah is the breach of the Sayrig that we are now discussing. But as the Mepharshim, as we've been explaining, the Sayrig wasn't a full-fledged wall. And if the Sayrig wasn't a full-fledged wall, why do we sing Uforetzu Chaimais Migdalai? It wasn't a full wall. So they answer that when we say in the Nigin Chaimos, we don't mean that it was a wall. What we mean, doesn't mean a physical wall. For indeed, it was not a physical wall. What it was a wall that we tried to put up to prevent us from getting, from letting the Akum get close to us. That is supposed to be Chaimos. That is supposed to be like a wall. And that was the wall that the Akum tried to break down. So Pashuk Pshat, when the Mishnah says that they then made, that when they fixed it, they made that they should bow down 13 times. So Pashuk Pshat in the Mishnah is to commemorate that there was 13 breaches, and now we're bowing down in gratitude that we were able to repair them. But then I saw another Pshat from the Ori of Yisrael. We know that the number 13 represents the Shloshei Sremidos Shorachamim, that we say very often that we daven the Shloshei Sremidos through which Hashem shows His Rachmanis to us. How, says the Ori of Yisrael, does a Jew become worthy to have the Shloshei Sremidos Shorachamim? The way a Jew becomes worthy to have the Shloshei Sremidos Shorachamim is by davening, is by being mishtachave. The Jew that's mishtachave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jew that bows down to Hashem and shows that he is ready to subserve himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the Jew that is zoicha to the Shloshei Esamidois Shorach. Continues the Mishnah, Lefnei Mimenu, after the Sairid, was the Chayil. The Chayil was an area that was between the Sairid and the wall of the Azorah. Esa Amos, and the area of the Chayil was 10 Amos wide. B'shneim Esra Malos HaYashon, there were 12 steps within the Chayil. Rum Malo, the height of every step was Chatzi Amo, was a half a Amo tall. V'shilcha, and the tread, the width of each step, was also a Chatzi Amo. Says the Mishnah, in fact, that Kol HaMalo Shal Yishon, all steps that were in the base of Migdash, had the dimensions of Rum Mala Chatzi Amo, the Shulcha Chatzi Amo, that a half an Amo tall by a depth of a half an Amo, Chutz Mishal Ulam, except for the steps leading into the Ulam, which we will describe in Mitzvah Shem later, that had different dimensions. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Kol HaPsochem Shal Yishon, all the entrances that were in the Beis HaMikdash, Govon, their height was Esrim Amma, Verochvon, Eser Amos, and the width was 10 Amos, Chutz Mishal Ulam, again, the entranceway to the Ulam was 40 Amos high and 20 Amos wide. Kol HaPsochem Shal Yishon, Hoyol and Dalsis, all the entranceways had doors, chutz mishal ulam, except the entranceway to the ulam, since it was such a large, wide entranceway, there was no room, there was too large for a door. Kol hash'arim shahayilam hayilam shkufais, all the entranceways had a mashka, the straight lentil, chutz mishal tedi, except for the entranceway of tedi, shahayisham shtei avonai mutazor gavzu, that had, it was in the form of a upside down V, like a teepee. Machlokes in the Rishonim exactly how or what this means doesn't mean that the entire entranceway was in the shape of this upside down V, or does it mean that first the sides of the entranceway were straight, but after the sides of the entranceway were straight, then they had a V upside down V shape on top of it. The reason, explained the Mefarshim, that this entranceway was different than all the other entranceways, explained the Mefarshim, there are a number of explanations. One explanation is because the Gemara said, we learned it previously, that there was lo yishtamish by klum, that there was no purpose in that entranceway. So to show that that entranceway really has no purpose, the way they did it was by making the entranceway look different than all the other entranceways. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw was that we know that the entranceway when a kohen became tameh, a balkeri, that was the entranceway through which he exited the Beis Hamikdash. So in order that it should be different, and it should be noticeably different, they made this entranceway different, that it should be only used for balkeri. But I saw actually two opposite shatan in what the purpose of doing so was. One shot that I saw that the purpose in doing so was that in order that the balkeri should be able to go out without anybody noticing them. Another pshat that I saw is just the opposite, that they made it in this way, not that they should be embarrassed how when they were in the Beis HaMikdash they became balkeri, which normally a person becomes balkeri because he had an improper machshava. So to show that they did something wrong having this type of machshava in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why it was made specifically and everybody would notice it. Continues the Mishnah. Kol Hashorim Shahayisham Mishtanish Lazov. When they originally built the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't afford it, and they built the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, and that's why they used cheaper materials. They didn't use gold, but ultimately, when they were able to afford it, they transferred it into gold doors. Chutz Mishan Mekana, except Mishan Mekana, Mishan Shanas Benes. There was a nace with that door that we described in our previous year. We know that Nicanor donated those doors, and they were being transported from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. And when they were being transported from Egypt, there was a storm, and they threw one of the doors overboard. And then they wanted to throw the other door overboard, but Nicanor, who was the person that donated them and was bringing them, refused under any circumstances. He said, if you throw the door overboard, you have to throw me overboard as well. And because of that, there was a nace that the storm subsided. And when they ultimately arrived in Eretz Yisrael, there was a tremendous miracle. The other door that they had thrown overboard came out under the boat, next to the boat that they had traveled with. I did see a version that a fish had swallowed that door and spit it out when they got to Eretz Yisrael. The Yesharim Nation, the original Mekana door was made out of copper, but it was a shiny copper that looked like gold, and therefore there was no need to transfer it into gold because it had the same look like gold anyway. And we learned many times that if you don't have to spend the money on the gold door, why do so? Continues the Mishnah. All the walls that were around the Harabayis were tall, chutz mikaisel hamizrachi, except the east side wall. She koyin hasarif the para, the koyin that would do the avoda of the para aduma, oimid v'roish haramishka, would be standing on top of harazaisin, umeskavin v'roi v'tisva shal heichol. The halacha is that he has to look either on the door of the heichol or into the heichol itself. And if the wall will be very tall, he won't, the Shas HaZoyah Saddam, he has to look at that as he's standing in Har HaZeisim and sprinkling the dam towards the Beis HaMikdash. And if the wall will be very tall, he won't be able to do so. The Ratvaz asks, isn't Har HaZeisim, we know that if somebody stands on Har HaZeisim, he could see into the Har HaBayis, because Har HaZeisim is taller than the Har HaBayis. So even if the wall will be tall, by standing on the top of Har HaMishkan, on the top of Har HaZeisim, can't you see into the Har HaBayis? So Ratva says two terutzim. The first terutz he says is that although our Mishnah says that they stood on the top of Har HaZeisim when they did the Avodah the Paraduma, they did not necessarily stand there, they might have stood only along the height of the Har HaZeisim, and since they stood there, they could not see from there into the Har HaBayis. And then he says another interesting chiddush. He suggests that even though Bizman Hazeh, we know that Har HaZeisim stands taller than the Har HaBayis, in those days the Har HaBayis actually was taller than Har HaZeisim, and therefore somebody standing on Har HaZeisim could not actually see into the Har HaBayis unless they lowered the walls around the Har HaBayis. Continues the Mishnah. Ezra's Hanoshim, they had the Ezra's Noshim in the Azara. The Ezra's Hanoshim is the place where the women would stand. Unless they were bringing a carbon, they were not allowed to get any closer into the Azara. The dimensions of the Ezra's Noshim were Oirich Mei V'Shloshim V'Chamesh, a length of 135 amos, a Roichiv Mei V'Shloshim V'Chamesh, by a width of 135 amos. The Arba Lishkos Hoibav V'Tzaseho, and there were four chambers on the four corners of the Ezra's Noshim, Shalaboam Aboam Amma. Each one of them had a length of 40 Amma, the Kach Hema Sidim Lios. And says the Mishnah, as we said in our previous year, the Navi in Yecheskel describes the Beis Hamikdash Shlishi, and the Navi in Yecheskel says that in the Beis Hamikdash, the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash Shlishi won't be exactly the same as the dimensions of the previous Bate Mikdash, but this will be the same. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, V'yotzi'enu al chotzer chitzoni, V'yavi'enu al abu mektsoya chotzer, V'yavi'enu al chotzer v'mektsoya chotzer, V'yavi'enu al abu mektsoya chotzer, Chatzeres keturis. On the four corners of this Ezra's Noshim, they were chambers that were mektoris, then keturis, and the definition of keturis was, is elish enu mektoris, that they don't have any ceilings. And as the Mepharshim explained, we'll explain this more in a moment, the reason that they didn't have any ceilings is because in one of the chambers they used to cook the Shalmei Nozir, and they wanted that the smoke should be able to escape, so that's why they couldn't make a ceiling over that chamber, and they wanted that all four chambers should look the same. So because they wanted all four chambers to look the same, this one didn't have a ceiling, so the other ones didn't have a ceiling either. Says the Mishnah, what was the purpose of these four chambers? Says the Mishnah, the southeast chamber is where the Nazir, when he completed his term, he had to bring a carbon oil and a carbon chatas and a carbon shlomin. And the halacha is that after they did the Zrikas Hadam on these kabbonis, the pot in which the carbon shlom was cooked, they would put the hair of the nazir under that fire. And since this was a carbon shlomin, therefore, the cooking, they didn't want that smoke should be caught in that room. So that's why they didn't have a ceiling on it. Furthermore, they used to cut the hair and put it under the pot, and that's why, and that was the purpose of that chamber. The Farshim go on to say that the Teres Yisrael explains the reason it was in this corner because there was no need for this cooking to take place anywhere near the Mizbeach, and this corner was the corner that was furthest from the Mizbeach. So since it was the corner that was furthest from the Mizbeach, that's why they put it in that, that's why they put it, this chamber in that corner. Continues the Mishnah, Mizrachit's finest, the northeast corner, had a chamber, he hoist the Lishkas Eitzim. That's where they had the Lishkas Eitzim. And again, here too, the Teres Yisrael explains, since for all Kabbonis, they had to bring Eitzim to the Mizbeach, so that's why it was put next to, on the north side, close to the Mizbeach. But because, as we're about to learn, the purpose of this chamber was to determine if there were any worms in the wood, so they didn't want to have it in the closest corner to the Mizbeach. Shishamah Kahanim Bali Mumin, That's where Kahanim who were Bali Mumin couldn't do the Avodah. Their job was Matliyim as Eitzim. They would check the wood for worms. The Kol H and Imtzabot Las, for any wood that had in it a worm, possible Gam Mizbeach may not be put on the Mizbeach. The Gemara actually in Masechta Menachos says that if the piece of wood that they checked was a dry piece of wood and it turned out to have worms, so they could just remove the worm and use it for fire, for wood on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, if it was a moist piece of wood in which they found the worm, that piece of wood was disqualified for use from the Mizbeach. The Gemara actually over there also discusses that the halachi is that one may not be magdish a baal mum from his carbon. Not only may a baal mum not be brought as a carbon, but if somebody's magdish a baal mum as a carbon, for a carbon he's over a laugh. And there's a discussion if the same halacha applies if somebody is magdish wood for the mizbeach that has in it worms. So ask the Chazon Ish if the halacha may be that you're not allowed to be magdish a piece of wood that has worms in it for the mizbeach. So how could they have brought these wood and only now check it in this lishka, in this chamber? How could they have been magdish it? They might have been over in Aveira when they were magdish a wormy piece of wood. So the Chazon Ish gives a number of terutzim. One terutz he says is that actually what they would do is they would first check the wood before they were magdish it. They would not be magdish a piece of wood without checking it to make sure it had no worms. And after they checked it and saw that it had no worms, they brought it, then they were magdish it. But before they actually used that wood on the Mizbeah, they would check that piece of wood again, as our Mishnah describes, before they actually put it on the Mizbeah. Another teretz that the Chazon Ish suggests is like, based on what we just said. Only moist wood, when there's a discussion of you magdish a piece of wood, if it has a worm, or you over a lav, that's only when you will magdish a moist piece of wood. But if you will magdish a dry piece of wood, since by dry piece of wood all you need to do, as we just said, is remove the worm, so there certainly you could be magdish it. There's no issa being magdish such a piece of wood. And the wood that's being discussed here is only wood that had in it, that only dry wood. Another teretz that he suggests is that wood that has in it a worm, they would make a t'nai that the hegdish should have never been a hegdish. So since it never was a hegdish, they didn't do anything wrong by being magdish. Svarnis Marovis, the northwest chamber, plays the Lishkas Mitzrayim. We know that a Mitzrayer, when he finishes being a Mitzrayer, has to go through a three-stage process of Tahara. And this is where they were for the final stage. First he had to wait 7 days, and afterwards go into the mikveh. And on the eighth day he had to bring karbonis. What are the karbonis? Being the Hashem Tzaira. And the halacha with the Hashem Tzaira was that the blood of the Hashem Tzaira was put on the middle part of the right ear of the Tzaira, the thumb of his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. And the Mitzayra wasn't yet Tahor, so he couldn't go straight into the Azara, so he stood over here with these limbs sticking into the Azara, so they should be able to apply the dam on these places on his body. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained that there was a mikveh in the Lishkas HaMitzrayim, because even though he went to the mikveh at the end of the 7 days, he had to go to the mikveh again before he brought these kabbonis on the eighth day and go through this process. Here too, the Tveris Yisrael explains, it was specifically in this spot because the kabbonis of a mitzvah kotcher kotchen, and kotcher kotchen we know, we've learned many times, shritoson the tzofen, so it had to be as close to the tzofen on the mizbeach as possible. My Rabbis, the Roimus, continues the Mishnah, Amar Rebelez ben Yaakov, Shechachti Ma'aseres Mishameshes. I forgot what the purpose, what the purpose of this Lishka was. The Gemara explains in Masechta Yuma that this line of the Mishnah serves as a raya that the author of the Mishnayos, we've discussed this already, that the author of the Mishnayos and the Masechta Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is teaching us this entire Masechta. And when he gets to this point, he says, I forgot what was the purpose of this chamber. Abishol Oimer, Shom HaYonayis Nim Yayin B'Shemen. That was the chamber where they kept the oil and the wine. He Haysup, in the cross, Leskus Be'Shamya, was called Lishkus Be'Shamya. The reason the Mepharshim explained that it was referred to the oil more than to the wine, because there was much more oil brought to the Mizbeach rather than wine. Another pshat is that the kabbanis that require oil, the oil is absolutely essential. The kabbanis that require wine, we learned many times, may adam kabbanai hayoyim, the minchas and the nesachim can be brought many days later. So the wine is not as essential. Is not as essential as the other ingredients. So since the wine is not as essential as all the other ingredients, that's why they called it this lishka of the shemen. The Teres Yisrael here too explains that why was it put in this place, because the oil was used for the menorah, and so too the nisach hayayin was on the southwest corner of the mizbeach. So that's why they had this chamber next to this place. Another pshat is that this was near the Lishkas Oisei Chavitin, and the people who prepared the Chavitin had to have oil in the preparation of the Chavitin. That we'll discuss, and we'll discuss. Continues the Mishnah describing the Ezra's Noshim. The Chaloka Hoisei Brishoina. Originally it was an open area, the Kuf for Ketzaitzim, but ultimately they made a balcony. Shanoshim Royas Romala, when they had the Simchas Beis Shoeva and Sukkos, they had the balcony, and the women went upstairs to see the Simchas Beis Shoeva. The Noshim Lamatam, and the men were kept downstairs. Kadesh Shloim Meravim, in order that should not become a mixture, any mingling between the men and the women. As the Mepharshim explained, this was by the Beis Hamikdash Sheni when they made this balcony. In the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, they didn't have the balcony. Why? So they saw two pshatim. One pshat is that in the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, they were on the Madrega, that they were able to mingle and not come to do anything wrong. Another pshat that I saw is that in the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, they just had like beams separating the place where men and women stood. But that seemed to be inadequate, and that's why they ultimately made this balcony. Again, the Mepharshim asked, how could they make the structure? Isn't the halacha that Hakub Ksav Yad Hashem Alai Hisko, or, as we learned earlier, you're not allowed to make a wood structure in the Beis HaMikdash, so how could they build it? So Mepharshim explained that either it only means further in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, or another pshat is for the purpose that they were making it, as we've been learning, to prevent the mingling of the men and the women, that was a reason that they could not follow the rules that they followed till now. This Mishnah serves as the basis of the rule that we know that in a shul, there's supposed to be a mechitza, there's supposed to be a separation between the men and the women. So clearly the Pais can say, from here we see, that the best type of separation that there is between the men and women is to have a balcony with the women and men on two different floors. In many shuls, obviously, a balcony cannot be made, so we need to have a mechitza. And there's an interesting machloikas apaiskim, what is the purpose of the mechitza, and therefore based on that machloikas, we will have a discussion how tall the mechitza must be. Ramosh's opinion is that the purpose of the mechitza is to avoid halus roish. The purpose of the mechitza is not to avoid men and women seeing each other. And therefore, according to Ramosha, a mechitza of yudches tfachim is adequate. Many paiskim disagree with Ramosha. There's a sefer leiv ha'ivri that brings a tshuva signed by 70 gedolei rabbanim, including the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch,
and the Maram Ash that say that the purpose of the Mechitza is that the men and women should not see each other, and therefore he says that the Mechitza has to be so tall that the men and women should not be able to see each other. The Brua explains that in the Musaf of Yom Tovim we say V'samchenu b'tikunai. What's the Lashon of Samchenu b'tikunai? So he says that the Gemara Masechet the Sukkah explains Tikkun Gadol. Tiknu, they made a great tikkun by making this mechitza, and we daven in the musaf of the yomim of the shalosh regolim with a simchenu b'sikunai, that the Kodesh Baruch should help us have the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, and we should be able to see this tikkun gadol, this great tikkun that was made on the Beis Hamikdash with this mechitza. Continues the Mishnah, the chamesh asrei malus. There were 15 steps leading from the Ezra's Noshim to Ezra's Yisrael. Kineged Chamesh Esri Malas B'Tehillim, corresponding to the 15 Sherer Hamalas that are in Tehillim. Shalavim Amrim B'Shir. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah says that when David HaMelech came to prepare the Shisim where the Mayim and the Yayim were poured on the Mizbeach, the water under the Malkam HaMikdash wanted to come and flood it. So David HaMelech took a piece of earthenware, wrote the Shem Hashem on that earthenware, and threw it, and the water subsided 16,000 amah, very, very deep in the ground. He wanted to make that the ground should be moist, so he said the 15 Shir Hamalis, and for every Shir Hamalis that he recited, the water came up 1,000 amah, until it was only 1,000 amah deep. To commemorate that, by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, the Levim sang the 15 Shir Hamalas. So Levim, Aleim, Alevim, Oyim B'Shir. What are your trutos? These steps were not straight. El Mekafos, they were in a semi-circle. The Chatzi Garnagula. The reason they were in that shape, one shot is because they're just nicer. Another shot is that there were many Levim who stood on the steps singing the Shir HaMalas, and when the steps are in this shape, there's more room for the Levim to stand. Continues the Mishnah, the Lishkai Shai Satachas Ezras Yisrael, there were chambers under the Ezras Yisrael, Psuchai Shle Ezras Noshim, open to Ezras Noshim, Shasham Halavim, Noisnim, Kinoiris, and Nevolim, and Tzotayim, and Kol Klishir. That's where the Levim would store all of their instruments. And the first one explained the reason they were stored underground, because there were many instruments that were very delicate and they needed to be kept in a cool place that they shouldn't get ruined. That's why they were kept there underground. The first one also say that they had a the notes that the Levim had with their book, the books of their notes were also kept there. Another pshat that I saw, that is where the Levim would rehearse their music, and since they didn't want to get that confused with the music and song that was taking place in the Beis HaMikdash, so they did it underground that they should not hear those sounds. Continues the Mishnah. Then we had the Ezras Yisrael, which was Eirich Meir Amos Shlosh HaMesh, a length of 135 amos, a Roich of Achas Esrei by a width of 11. The came afterwards, after the Ezras Yisrael, is the Ezras Kahanim, which was a Eirich Meir Amos Shlosh HaMesh, a length of 135 amos, a Roich of Achas Esrei by a width of 11 amos. The Rosh Tefisim, they had beams, Mavdilim the Ezras Yisrael, Ezras Kahanim, separating. And again, the Mefarshim explained, even though we're not allowed to have wood structure in the Beis HaMikdash, these beams weren't actually firmly connected to the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, but they were just put there down, and that's not called putting up a wood structure in the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat is that they weren't made out of wood, they were made out of stone. The issur is only a wood structure, not a stone structure, and the purpose was to separate that this is where the Kahanim may go not the Yisraeli. Continues the Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Ma'ala Hoysa, there was a step in the Ezra's Kahanim, Gvaya Omer. It wasn't just that they had Rashi Pespisim separating, but there was actually a step separating the Ezra's Yisrael from the Ezra's Kahanim. Gvaya Amah, there was an Amah tall, that Duchen Nosan Alel, and on this step there was the platform. Bo Sholosh Malos Shachatzi Chatzi Amah, on this platform there were three steps, each a half an Amah tall. Nimtzis, if we take that first Amah that we spoke about, plus this three times a half Amah, which is another Amah and a half, Nimtzis, according to this opinion, Ezra's Kahanim Gevoyim and Ezra's Yisrael Shtei Amos Amachza was 2.5 Amos taller. This was the Duchen on which the Kahanim would stand and say the Nesias Kapayim the Duchening. Although the Mefarshim asked that we did learn in the previous Masechta, Masechta Tamid, that the Duchening, the Nesias Kapayim took place on the steps to the Ulam. So I saw a number of pshat. One pshat is that these Mishnais actually disagree. Another pshat is that when there were many Kohanim and they couldn't all have room on the steps to the Ulam, they stood on this Duchan. And a third pshat that I saw is that the purpose of this Duchan wasn't for the Kohanim, it was where the Levim stood with their musical instruments as the Kohanim was saying the Sias Kapayim. Continued the Mishnah. Kol Hazara, the dimensions of the entire Hazara, Hos Arich Mei V'Shmayim V'Sheva, a length of 187, a Roichiv Mei V'Shlosh V'Chamesh by a width of 135. V'Shlosh Esra Shtachavoyis Hayisham, the would bow down 13 times, again, corresponding to the 13 breaches in the Psalig that we began our Shir with. Abu Yosef V'Chanan Oimer, Kenegit Shlosh Esra Sh'arim. There were 13 gateways to the Azara, and corresponding to 13 gateways, they bow down 13 times. And the Mishnah now goes into those 13 gates, to describe those 13 gates entering the Azara. Dromim Sumuchim Lamarav, the southern ones next to the west side. First you had the Shara Elyon, the upper gate. Since the map, this was all built on a mountain, the Shara Elyon represents that this was taller than the rest of the Harbais. The Beis Hamikdash was the tallest spot. Shar Hadelik, that was through which they brought the wood to put on the Mizbeach. Shar HaBechayis. We know that a Bechar is a carbon, that's an animal, that's given to the Kohen. Now normally something that's given exclusively to the Kohen, we would assume should be Kachi Kachim. And Kachi Kachim are all, as we said earlier in our shir, brought B'tzofen, all brought on the north side of the Mizbeach. Here, even though it was completely given to the Kohen, but it's still Kachi Kalim, and it was brought through the Dorim to the south side. To show this, they had a special gate on the south side. And then there was the Shar HaMayim, the water which they brought from the Shiloyach, to do Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. V'lama nikra Shmoy Shar HaMayim, Shaboy Machnis and Tzluchas HaMayim Shal Nisach B'chag, that was the gate through which they brought the water for Nisach HaMayim and Sukkos. V'lez ben Yaakov Omer, Bo HaMayim Mefachim. The Novi in Yecheskel says that there will be a spring of water emanating from the Kachi Kachim. This is the place that they go out. And it's interesting to explain that normally we would assume that a spring is widest at its source. Here, it's just the opposite. The spring is narrowest at its source by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then it gets wider until it becomes very big. The lesson the Mefarshim say is the lesson of Shabbos. We say regarding Shabbos, ki hi mekar habracha. Mekar habracha is that on Shabbos we don't work, but all the bracha we have for our entire week comes from Shabbos. Here too, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the source of the bracha, but that's where it was smallest. Ulamasan b'tzofen, There were also gates on the north side, Smuch Lamar, Shar Yechanya. There was a Shar Yechanya, Shar HaKarbon. The Shar HaKarbon is through which the Karbonis came, Shar HaNoshim, when women would bring a carbon. So there's a number of Pshatim. There's actually, the Aloch is, when somebody brings a carbon, he has to make smicha. And there's a machlaikis if women soimchais, if women make smicha. So according to the opinion that women make smicha, this is where they came to do the smicha on the kabbanis. According to the opinion that noshim don't make smicha, but when a woman would bring a carbon, she wanted to see her carbon being actually offered. So standing all the way back by the Ezra's noshim, they couldn't see, so this is where they would stand. And then they had Shar Hashir. This is, we learned in the Masechta Tamid, that when they brought the carbon Tamid, there were Kahanim that stood near the Mizbeach and played instruments. This is where they would come in with those instruments. We mentioned one of the Sharim was Shar Nechanya. Why? Lama Nikra Shmai Shar Yechanya. Why was it called Shar Yechanya? Shabar Yatzachanya Begalusai. This is where Yechanya went out when he went into Galus. And there's a tremendous shot from the Rosh. The Rosh says that even as Yechanya went to Galus, he first came to the Beis HaMikdash and got permission to go to Galus. To teach us that even in a terrible time, explained the Mefarshim, when they're going to Galus, you still have to always do everything with permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the source some Paiskim say, that if somebody leaves a place, especially if he leaves a yeshiva, or he leaves a shir, he should always get permission from the Magid Shir, from the Rosh Yeshiva. Shemizrach, on the Mizrach side, there was the Shna Shar Nikaner, the Shnei Kishnoshim HaYolah. It had two doorways. One shot is that they had two doors in the actual Shar. Another shot is that the two doors were on the side of the door. Echem Yeminah V'Echem Esmailoi. The Shnaim Ma'ariv, the two on the west side, Lo Hay Hashem, did not have any name. Mefarshim explained, the Barbanel goes into this, because they didn't want anybody to bow going into the Beis Hamikdash from the Ma'ariv side, they would bow from the Mizrach side, and that's what it means that it had Lo Hay Hashem. Hanul Charabayis, Hanul Charabayis, Hanul Charabayis. Now the Mishnah goes on to explain the construction of the Mizbeach. HaMizbeach was 32 amos by 32 amos. The Baal Turim says that the Torah says the word HaMizbeach 32 times in the Torah. The reason the Torah says this word 32 times is to correspond, as we're learning, to the 32 times, the 32 amos of the Mizbeach, of the width of the Mizbeach. So says the Mishnah. They brought a wood frame that was 32 amos by 32 amos. Ola amos of Kanasama, and they poured it with all sorts of materials, and that's how they made the frame. The next spot on top of it, and that served as the yisoy, as we learned many times, Shiori Adam HaYishoyfech Al Yisoy, the leftover blood was spilled on the yisoy. Then, by raising it an amon, the next frame was only 30 by 30. Nimtzu shloishim ashloishim, ola chamesh, the kana's amma. This went up for a height of 5 amos, and then it was indented by an amma again. Zah soiviv, that's the ledge which the kohanim would walk on the mizbeach. Nimtzu eser amma al eser v'shmoina. So now you have an area of 28 by 28. Makom akronis, on the roof of the mizbeach, there were the 4 corners. Each corner was an amma mizeh, the amma mizeh was a size of an amma, so that took up an amma along the top of the mizbeach. So the open area of the top of the mizbeach, nintzis esr eishesh al esr eishesh, was an area of 26 by 26. Makam hiluch raglek adam amma mizeh, amma mizeh, and along the sides, not the last amma of the Mizbeach, because that was obstructed by the corners, but the Amma afterwards was where the Kahanim would walk on the roof of the Mizbeach, so that took up another Amma, so now you have 2 Ammas deducted. Nimtza Esrim V'Arba Al Esrim V'Arba, the roof of the Mizbeach was 24 by 24, which was Makom HaRoch, where the fire of the Mizbeach was. That last Amma The Gemara Masechta Zvachim explains was indented that the Kohanim should not, if they slipped, they wouldn't have to show them fall off the Mizbeach. The Mefarshim also explained, we learned the Masechta Zvachim, that we know that there are two types of Amis. There are five Tefach Amis, and there are six Tefach Amis. There's a Machlokes that the Gemara discusses that not some of the Amis that were used in the Mizbeach were six Amis, some of them were five Amis. Everybody agrees that the height of the Mizbeach was 10 Amis tall. Or if there's a Mitchila, in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the Mizbeach was 28x28. Because they started everything smaller. They started with a base of 28x28. By everything starting smaller, the Makam HaMarach and the base of Mikdash Rishon was Esrim al Esrim, 20x20. Why was the first base of Mikdash different than the second base of Mikdash? Two pshatim. One pshat is in the first base of Mikdash, they assumed that the pouring of water and wine should not be done on the Mizbeach itself, but it should be done on the sides of the Mizbeach. But the second base of Mikdash, they realized it should be done on the Shisin, the place where the water and wine was poured, were on the Mizbeach itself. Another pshat is that originally they thought that this was the limit of the size of the Mizbeach, but then they came to the recognition by base of Mikdash Sheni that it could be larger. Shal by Gaila, the Sifal of Arba Amos Min Hadarim, Ba'aba Amos Min Arav, Min Gamma. Because the Soiviv and the base of Mikdash Sheni, in the base of Mikdash Rishon, it went around all four sides. In the base of Mikdash Sheni, it only went around two of the sides. It only went around the two sides and a little in the Dorim. It went along the north and west, and it dropped into the Dorim. The reason is because you can't, the Mizbeach is supposed to be completely in the area of Binyamin, and now that the Mizbeach was expanded, this would have been in the area that belonged to Shevet Yehuda, and the Mizbeach is supposed to be completely in the area that belongs to Binyamin. Shnemar, and the Pasuk says, V'reil shtem esri oirich, shtem esri echa revuah. This is saying a nevuah regarding the second base of Mikdash, that should be 12x12, 24. That it should only be 12x12. From the midpoint in the Mizbeach, you measure 12 amma, the chal ruach, and you have a 24x24. The chut of sikra, there was a chut of sikra, chayger be'emtsa, was in the middle of the Mizbeach, the havdo, that it should serve as a demarcation point. We learned many times there are different kabbanis. Some kabbanis, the dam is sprinkled on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Some kabbanis on the bottom half. The way to tell the top and the bottom was through the chut asikra. There's a question in the Mefarshim. What does that mean? Does it mean that you're supposed to have certain kabbanis, as we've learned, difference between chatos and oila, beginning with sechtikinim, on the upper half or the lower half, and it's the chut asikra that divides the top half from the bottom half. Another pshat, and therefore, according to those mefarshim, without a chut asikra, you cannot do this avoda. Another pshat is that the chut asikra is not what makes the upper half upper, and it's not what makes the lower half lower. It's higher and lower because what's upper or lower. This is just a way of being able to tell. And therefore, according to Rav Mefarshim, even if the Chut HaSikra were missing, you still could bring the Karbonis anyway. The Yisoid, as we explained, in Halach HaPnei Kol Tzofen, HaPnei Kol Maariv, along the entire north and west in the base of Mikdash Sheni, V'oichel B'Dorim Amma, and it went one Amma to the Dorim side, of Mizrach Amma Achas. It only went on that, and those sides, only one Amma. Because, as we said, those were only the areas that were of Shevet Binyamin.